Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, March 24th. And now the danger the coronavirus poses to people who are incarcerated. This issue is starting to blow up nationwide. Correction facilities throughout the U.S. are slowly releasing inmates to avoid a potential public health catastrophe. Correctional workers and inmates around the nation are testing positive for the virus. Here in New York, the city has begun to release some prisoners. So have other states like California, Ohio, and New Jersey. New Jersey plans to release up to 1,000 people today. I'm joined by two advocates close to this issue who are calling for the immediate release of more people detained on Rikers Island. Robert Cohen is a medical doctor, a corrections health expert, and New York City Board of Corrections commissioner. And Jose Saldana is the director of the Release Aging People in Prison campaign. Robert and Jose, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
And thank you for having us.
Can you each start with your background a little bit and explain your connection to this issue? Jose, you want to?
Sure. I'm formerly incarcerated. I was released a little over 2 years ago after 38 years of incarceration. And this virus is going to kill some of the men that I left behind that should have been walking out with me, but instead they languished for more years in incarceration when they should be with their families, as I am enjoying life with my family.
Also, people you're saying who had become aged and weren't a threat and may have been a danger, in more danger of becoming ill in the correction system.
Yeah, yes, let me give you a very brief background there. Since Governor Cuomo took office, there has been reported 675 elder people 50 and over, have died at the alarming young age of 58 years old. Now, this is because not only the substandard health care, but just the aging in prison. You know, we age differently in prison. And now comes a deadly virus that all health experts say is fatal to the very group that's already dying at a young age. My concern is that these men that I left behind will not survive this virus. It will not survive this health crisis.
Robert Cohen, Dr. Cohen, what's your connection to this issue, and what are you seeing?
Well, I've been working in the New York City jails for a long time. I was the director of the medical and mental health services during the early 1980s when the AIDS epidemic first came to the city, starting in 1981 through 86. And I have monitored jails and prisons throughout the country for federal courts. And for the past 10 years, I have been appointed by the city council to the 9-member New York City Board of Correction, which has oversight responsibility for the jails. What I'm concerned about is that the jails need to the jails are not removing the people who need to be removed. The main approach to this epidemic in New York City right now to be to discharge as many people as possible. There are 550 people or so in city sentenced category. That means that they were convicted of minor crimes, possession of drugs, disorderly conduct, things that are not a problem to anyone, and they could be released immediately. And the mayor has complete control over that under state law, yet has only released a small number of people, and has been asking the police department to review whether or not these people are safe enough to go out when they are only on city sentence because they were convicted of minor offenses. That's 550 people who could be and should be released immediately that the mayor can do, and he's done almost nothing so far in that population. And of those who have been those who are being considered for release, only a small number of those, about 15 or 20, are over 50. The other group that's critical to release are people who are seriously ill. and no effort has been done to address this yet. They are at risk of dying, as Jose said, and they nobody should die in jail. But in particular, they are going to get very sick if they get infected. Right now, they're not. The people in the infirmaries, but if they get infected because the virus spreads within the jails, it's going to overwhelm the healthcare system, and the security and clinical staff who are doing an extraordinary job are going to be overwhelmed by that situation. And then there's one other group, which are people who are older, and that's over 50. And that is a group which is an incredible risk of getting very sick and dying from this virus, and will also completely overwhelm the system. So getting people out is the most important thing.
Jose, I thought it might be useful for you to describe, for the many listeners who've never been inside a jail, what it's like. Because people may have this casual impression from television or whatever that it's cell by cell, one person at a time, and they're kind of separated anyway. So why would the virus spread so much in that context? And, you know, and their contact with each other would be restricted as a matter of their incarceration. So can you describe more what it's really like?
Well, the prisons that I've been in, I spent 38 years in maximum security prisons, and this is cell blocks.
Right. You know, that's
still,
not Rikers Island, but go ahead.
No, it's upstate. We're talking about state prisons.
I understand.
This is cell blocks that, you know, they're side by side by side. We're talking about 300-400 people in one block, close quarters. Someone gets sick, just about everybody on that company will get sick. Now, in the medium facilities, you have what they call dormitory-style living quarters. You have 60, 70, 80 people in a dormitory-style living quarters. Close quarters again. No ventilation. Someone gets sick, everybody gets sick. So, this virus breathes in environments like this. Experts are predicting that in prison, because first, the substandard health conditions, most people in prison face a health condition just about every day for years and decades. This is a prescription for death by this virus.
Dr. Cohen, can you describe the New York City jails, Rikers and others in particular, in this respect?
Yes, Brian. There, New York City jails have both cell blocks and dormitory areas. And so, in dormitory areas, groups of between, you know, they're built for 50 people, live in close quarters. They share a few toilets and a few showers and a few sinks. And there are times when there are a lot of people gathered within those areas. So the chance for spread is extremely great. The difficulty of achieving distancing of 6 feet is extraordinary. To mitigate the epidemic spread, as few people as possible, and only those people who are absolutely necessary to be on Rikers Island should be there. Lowering the population is also just. It makes sense in New York. We have 5,300 or so people in jail right now. The city council, the mayor, have agreed that there should only be 3,300 people, and they have passed legislation, and they have decided to close down Rikers Island and replace it with 3,300 beds, not 5,300 as there are right now. There's no reason to wait 6 years. It's not because people are going to behave better and not get arrested over the next 6 years. It's because there are too many people in our jails and prisons, and we can act right now to get to the point that we need to get to and to save lives. And we shouldn't wait for that right now.
Let's take a phone call. Julia in Spanish Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julia.
Hi. I love your show. I always listen. I'm just have to say first, our incarceration system is totally inhumane. But I'm curious, I've heard that they have some tested positive. And I was wondering, upon their release, where are they going? And upon release of all they will release, has everyone been tested? Because even everyone out here hasn't been tested. So do they know the level of infection already, and like, where are they going to go? And are the ones that are tested positive, where are they going to go? Or I don't think they're going to hospitals because, well, I won't even say what I think about that. Mm-hmm. So just, are they being provided for as to where they're going to go when they are released?
Dr.
And
Cohen,
have they tested everyone?
Yes. Dr. Cohen, can you answer those questions?
Yes, it would just be like if you or someone you knew were tested positive, they would be told to go home and to quarantine themselves and to isolate themselves for 14 days. That would be the same thing. All of the people who are being considered right now, unfortunately, all of them are healthy. They're not looking at the people who need to be discharged for medical reasons. And you're right that, you know, for some of them who have complicated health and social needs, there will have to be complex discharge planning. I would say that as an example, so basically there are 39 people as of yesterday who were confirmed positive out of 5,500 in the jails, and not everybody has been tested, but that's how many have been positive. Those people are all housed in the same facility right now, which is the appropriate thing to do. They can't infect each other anymore because they're infected. I would say that for people who are hospitalized and are intensive care units, who come from the jails, they should be discharged because they're really sick if they're in intensive care units, and it requires a large amount of security staff to stay with them 24 hours a day. If the city feels a need to rearrest them, if and when they recover, that would be okay too. But I appreciate your concern, but people in jail are just like people out of jail. And if they're positive and they're released, as people are every day, people are released from jail, they will have to self-quarantine.
I think we have another question. And, Julia, thank you for your call.
May I add to that very briefly?
Sure, Jose. Go ahead.
Yes. In New York, in the state prison system, no one is being tested, with few exceptions. The only exceptions are those who show serious symptoms. Everyone else is not being tested. So we really don't know how far the infection has spread in the state prison system. And this is why we are calling for the governor to issue or start the process of releasing people on a clemency process and for a parole board to start releasing people who should have been released years ago and in some cases decades ago. But the thing is that they are not testing.
Here's another caller, I think, on what happens after release. Niles in Georgia. You're on WNYC. Hello from New York, Niles.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. My call basically speaks to what happens after people are released. So, for example, my dad was in Rikers Island, and through years of going back and sort of recidivism, he ended up developing a mental health issue. And this has more to do with sort of where they're going to go after. But what's going to happen to a large amount of people who are released from jail, and where do they go? And especially for the ones who do suffer from mental illness, what happens to them? Because it's not, I don't believe it's the best thing just to put them back on the street without a proper sort of path to safety, both for the citizens currently and for themselves, and also to reduce the spread of the virus.
Jose, you want to take that question?
Yes. Well, let me begin with what we really cannot do under any circumstances. We cannot leave them in prison to die. That's immoral. But what we can do, and there's a perception, and it's a false perception, that those who've languished in prison for decades have no one. No, that's not true. I came home to a family after 38 years of incarceration. I stay connected to my family, and I stay connected to my community. And a lot of us in prison, especially those who've languished in prison for 3 and 4 decades, we have a moral obligation to stay connected to the community that we harm. And we have the obligation to stay connected to our family because we owe everyone something. So that's a perception that we have no one to go to is false. Now, if we begin to release the elderly, those who have conditions where this virus is fatal to, this would save the state millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars that can be allocated for the housing and reentry services. But they are reentry services right now that we're working with in coordination that they will be able to at least provide housing for a vast majority of those that are coming home. And we hope that they will be coming home.
Emma in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Emma.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I'm calling in because my partner is actually in Rikers Island currently. I speak to him every day. He's not being given any kind of general disinfectant. As far as I know, right now they're sleeping head-to-head rather than, as it was reported, that they were sleeping head-to-toe. He was arrested on a technical parole violation and has not heard from anyone as of yet when or how he will be released. And when he spoke to his parole officer, she also does not have any information. I'm growing increasingly concerned with the amount of cases that are being reported in Rikers, and I'm really curious to know more information about when they're going to be released or how that is going to take place.
Jose,
I'd like to speak to the particular issue of the disinfectant that you
okay,
raised.
Okay, Dr. Cohen, you first, then Jose.
Yes, you're right to be concerned. I've spoken with medical staff on Rikers Island today, and they've told me that the Department of Health has approved the use of dilute bleach solutions, which are not dangerous to people, which can be given to persons like your partner, to clean their own surfaces and to help clean other surfaces. That is a critical part of the effort to control spread of the epidemic, and that should be available to people. The problem that you describe in terms of when the state parole group is going to let your partner out is very serious right now because even those hearings I think have been suspended because the attorneys are not able to be supporting their clients in a safe environment. So rather than go one by one, your partner and everybody on a technical parole violation should be released immediately. And Governor Cuomo has the ability to do that and should act today.
It's so heartbreaking, though, because it's so frustrating. There's nothing that you can do, it sounds like, as individuals to keep your loved ones protected. Is there anything, Jose, that you can offer Emma in addition?
Yes.
On a personal level?
Well, it's on a general level, but I think she could find comfort in it, that this is a public health crisis, and we have to treat it this way. And it really doesn't matter whether it's a jail or prison upstate. It's a public health crisis, and the only humane solution, because disinfecting is not going to cure anything. The only humane solution is decarceration on the city level, on the state level. We have to decarcerate. Men and women have to return back to their family where they are safer.
And that's going to be the last word. For now, it's obviously not the last word on this topic. We asked the mayor about it on Friday. Other people are obviously pushing the mayor to act faster with this potential public health catastrophe at Rikers Island in particular and also at other dense city jails. We thank Dr. Robert Cohen, who's also a New York City Board of Correction Commissioner, and Jose Saldana, director of the Release Aging People in Prison campaign. Thank you both so much for coming.
And thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is obviously also a daily coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet @Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.